Hey there, Richard Tubb here. Thanks for joining me in another episode of Tubb Talk, the podcast for IT consultants. I am joined today by Matt Jarrett of Sunderland, UK-based Damtech. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, I feel as though I should be waving to you. You're like relatively just down the road from me. For anybody not familiar with the northeast of England, how far away are Sunderland and where I am in Newcastle-upon-Tyne?
I would say, depending whereabouts, probably 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah, half an hour. We really should have done this in person instead of over Zoom, shouldn't we? But we go.
Have done, really.
It's the times that we live in. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Damtech. But before we do, I know you've got an extensive background as a network technician and as an administrator. So what made you take the leap from working for other people into starting your own business?
I left university. We started in 2009. So I had left university. The other director, Darren, he was made redundant because 2009 was sort of right in the middle of financial crisis, credit crunch, all that. Yeah. He was made redundant. I'd left and we sort of thought, well, what do we do now? The job market wasn't great. And a local business center was running sort of a promotion for people that had been made redundant, where you got a package for 12 months to sort of start up yourself. So we thought, well, you know, we might as well give it a go. There's no harm in trying. So we thought, well, we'll give it 12 months, see what happens. And here we are 12 years later.
Pretty good go. How do you compare the role of being a business owner or co-owner within the business with being a network administrator?
A lot of the sort of business administration side is not done by me. That's not my forte. I'm not good at that side of stuff. So I focus on sort of a lot of the technical stuff. And Darren deals with a lot of the business administration.
The business focus.
We sort of fit well. That was his role in his previous employer. So we sort of fit nicely.
Yeah, sounds like you've got a good partnership going on there. Well, to have lasted this long.
Well, we're definitely doing something right, I think.
Definitely, yeah. So back in the day when you used to manage networks as a technician, you know, looking after one network at a time, or maybe a couple of three networks, must be a big, big change from now being a managed service provider, multi-tenanted, and just having so many different client networks to look after.
Yes and no. Everybody obviously runs their sort of their setup and their systems in a way that suits them best. The majority of our clients are small businesses, some of them very small businesses. We find that niche works well for us. So what we tend to find is, although we are dealing with a lot of people, there is a lot of similarity in what we do. And we tend to find what we do for one, we do for all. Yeah. So other than the sort of the specific things that the client might need, a lot of the time it's very similar.
Yeah. And you mentioned you work with predominantly with small businesses in the Northeast. Have you found that there's a type of client that you work with, or is, dare I say, like a niche? Do you work with professional services, or does it tend to be all types of businesses?
We look after anybody and everybody. We've got estate agents, we've got solicitors, we've got financial advisors, a lot of services. We've got metal fabricators, we've got a few charities, we've got a real mix, which I like, because it means that my day is never the same.
Yeah.
And even sort of different parts of the day, the morning might be totally different to the afternoon. And I like that. It keeps it interesting.
Yeah. Is there any type of client that you would say no to? Or is there any red flags when you're having a sales conversation you think, this might not be a good fit for us?
No, not really. No. Yeah. We tend to stick to the smaller side. If it's a larger business, we tend to find, because our business is quite small, we find that larger businesses might need, you know, a bit more of a larger support company behind them.
Yeah.
But anything goes, really, because any kind of business, no matter what you're doing, you need some level of IT. Everybody needs, you know, a computer of some description. They all need email and things like that. So we tend to fit in quite well with most sectors, I would say.
Yeah. So you know, when you come across a business that's got slightly larger requirements, that's the sort of thing that you would pass on and stick to the smaller end of the market.
Yeah.
Understood. Yeah. I've got to ask as well, Matt, the name Damtech, D-A-M-Tech, where did that come from?
It's our names. It's Darren and Matt.
Darren and Matt. I thought it was, but I couldn't.
Which is why it's capitalized when you see it. The D and the M are capitalized.
I took a guess at it, but I wanted to get to the bottom of it. So, yeah. What sort of services do you typically offer to businesses in the Northeast then?
Everything. We once joked and we used to say to people, if it's got a plug on the end, we will look after it. I would say we're probably, you could class it as a hybrid MSP, I suppose, because we do the regular MSP things, you know, the cloud services, the VoIP services, things like that. But because, again, we're predominantly small business aimed at, our clients might need us for all sorts of things. Cabling, they might need advice for, you know, CCTV, they might need literally anything. So we will do most jobs, really.
Yeah. So do you think you've reached a stage after 12 years of being what most MSPs sort of aspire to be, which is that trusted advisor role where your clients come to you for everything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Literally everything. Even, you know, we get people ringing us asking us for advice on what TV package to go for. And it's like, might not be quite our forte, but, you know, because you work in technology, you have an interest in technology. So you pick things up even from a personal side. So, you know, I'm happy to have a chat with people about most things.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm a former MSP owner, and I tell the story that when we achieved what I believe to be that trusted advisor status with some of our clients, we used to get phone calls about stuff that was nothing at all to do with IT. Well, as, you know, so we had a phone call the once from a client asking us if we could recommend any plumbers, but I think it speaks, doesn't it, to the level of trust that that you build up with clients and clients have with you.
Absolutely. We have a fantastic relationship with our clients, and we don't like to be the kind of support company where we never see anybody face to face. Obviously, a lot of the things we can do remotely, and that's a big help, especially in the last 18 months. That's been a big help. But what we hear from our clients is they don't like the support whereby you don't know who you're talking to and you never see anybody's face. So I make a conscious effort to go out and see clients. And I think they like that, but also they know that because we have such a broad range of customers, if somebody needs some kind of service elsewhere, we've had that quite a lot where they come and ask us and say exactly like that, you know, do you know anybody that can do X, Y, Z? Most of the time we probably do, or we'll know somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because it's little to do with IT, isn't it? But it's everything to do with the value they get from you as an MSP.
Absolutely.
So good lesson for everybody listening. I've got to say, it was our mutual friends at Geocom who first introduced you and I, Matt. I've got to say, the guys at Geocom absolutely love you. You've got to be one of their favourite partners in the UK. They speak so highly of you. How long have you been a Geocom partner?
I had 2016, I believe, is when we started using them. We used to use a different distributor, and we didn't get on well with them. Yeah. And it just so happened you got the usual sort of, you know, email lands from somebody at Geocom that says, hey, let's have a chat. Let's see what you think. So we started using them, and yeah, never looked back.
Yeah. What made you choose Geocom over other? I mean, we used the word there, distributor, didn't we? Which is probably more of a traditional word for what Geocom do. They're probably much more than that. They're more like a cloud solution provider, a cloud service provider, or a cloud workspace. But what made you choose Geocom over the? Because there is a lot of choice in the market.
There is. And it's definitely not price related, because everybody's prices are very sort of similar. They have to be. But what we found was their portal was a lot easier to use. We found that it was a lot more responsive. So when we were adding licenses onto a client's account, we found that those licenses applied much quicker than others that we'd used. We had an account manager that we could contact. Previously, it got to a point whereby we didn't know who our account manager was with other ones. And it was a nightmare when you tried to get hold of somebody. Now, I think I've had maybe two account managers in the whole time we've been with them. And it's much easier to get hold of somebody. And when you've got questions, that you can actually know there's a person to speak to.
Yeah. I was thinking actually while you were saying earlier on how you've built up the business with Damtech in your local area in Sunderland and in the Northeast there, and how people do business with you because they know you, they like you, they trust you, you know, and I think a lot of people listening to this will absolutely understand that. So for the benefit of anybody, perhaps even outside of the UK who are not familiar with Geocom, they are a cloud marketplace, what we used to call in the day a distributor. That's probably not an accurate word anymore, but they are a company that a lot of MSPs in the UK go to for cloud services, similar to Matt and the team at Damtech there. But again, it's really interesting to hear you say that you work with them because you've got Simon as an account manager, human beings that you can talk to. When we are in that world of self-service, aren't we? But we still need a human to speak to over the other end of a phone when we need to.
And ask advice. They have a lot of... They've got quite a wide product range. So when we've got a client that needs a specific need or a specific tool, and there's maybe two or three products that they offer that might fit that, it's somebody to ask, you know, to say, right, okay, for this need, which of these things might be best? And obviously, you know, you can do research and documentation, but I tend to find it's much easier just to pick up the phone or fire an email at somebody and get a response.
Yeah, it's almost like a concierge service for the mind, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got limited time as MSPs. There are other things that we need to spend our time on. So having somebody to answer those questions is good. What type of solutions do you go to Geocom for?
Microsoft 365 is a big one.
Yeah.
And sort of services related to that, so backup and security and sort of spam filters and things like that. They do a bundle for 365, which they call 365 Secure, which gives you sort of the 365 licenses. But alongside that, it gives you a backup with Acronis, and it gives you sort of mail security with a product called Vade. And it means all of that's bundled into one package, one price, to give to a customer rather than saying, oh, well, it's this price for this, this price for this, this price for this. Yeah. Especially with our clients, because they haven't got the time to be flipping through quotes and proposals and things like that. They just want to know, this is how many I want and this is how much it's going to cost me.
Yeah, I know the marketing team at Geocom are going to give you and I a slap the back of the head for mentioning the word bundle, for pulling those services together, but they're not here. So we'll put up with that another time. How do you present M365 Secure? So you've got Vage, you've got, is it Acronis?
Acronis Backup.
That's Acronis Backup, and of course, Microsoft 365. How do you then present that solution to your clients? Do you rebrand it as Damtech related, or do you go in with M365 Secure?
No, we call it what they call it. So we literally pitch it to customers as it's pitched to us. So we tell them, you know, you get the standard 365 suite, and then for you know, not much more actually, you get backup and your mail security involved in that as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will think with 365, when you've got the likes of OneDrive and stuff like that, and you're saving files into it, they think that's a backup. And in some cases it is, some cases it's not, depending on what's happened. So having that extra layer of safety, I suppose, for a client is great for them.
Yeah, I think it's a really smart move on Geocom's part to put this together as M365 Secure, because as you say, I speak to so many MSPs when we talk about email security, when we talk about backup, all of these different things, they say, oh, well, I speak to the clients, and the clients say, well, isn't that included with Microsoft? And of course, you and I, Matt, both know it is to a degree, but not a very high degree. So how do you find using, you know, Vade and Acronis? Where has that saved you time?
Because everything is sort of integrated by Geocom. So you go in and you pick the license. If a client has 365 and wants to switch it to 365 secure, it's just a one button process. It goes off and creates the Acronis account for you. It goes off and creates the VAID account for you. There's a little bit of config on our part to get them all up and running, but very little time. And then it just sits and works itself. And you know, we can give our clients access to that. We've got some clients that are very hands-on. They like to be in charge of their own stuff. So they can get access to that and look through it and restore things if they want to. We've got other clients that literally don't want any interest at all, and they leave that to us. And the portal is very easy to use, and it's great for us to just get in and do that for them.
Yeah. And I've done, for the benefit of listeners who want to see more of this, not just hear about it, I've done some video demos with Geocom around the cloud portal, and it really is an impressive solution. I've got to ask the question, you know, if you've come across clients who have already got a solution in place, it might be M365, it might be something else. How do you find migrating those clients into the M365 secure platform? Is it easy to upgrade existing licenses?
If the client's tenant is already through us, through Geocom, it's just one button. You press one button and it does it for you. If the client's tenant is if it's a new customer that's coming to us that already has 365, there's a little bit more involved, but not a great deal more. You just choose the secure licenses rather than the standard ones.
Yeah, yeah. And how have you found in terms of lowering your cost of support, as well as it saved you any headaches with clients?
It's definitely saved a few headaches when people have rang in a panic and said, I had a folder that's disappeared all by itself, because it's always all by itself.
It's always by itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's done it all by itself. And they like the fact that within a matter of minutes, you know, we'd say, right, when did you last see the folder? Da, da, da. And you click one click restore. It asks you where you want to restore it. I generally put it somewhere else so they can check through it. And then they're over the moon and they're relieved because, you know, they've got that data back.
Yeah, as opposed to, I guess, the alternative solution that I remember. I mean, I'm old enough, Matt, to remember BPOS, the Business Productivity Online suite, which was the early precursor to Microsoft. We called it something different to BPOS, but I won't go into that. but when we needed to do restores and that, it was a nightmare, because it was technically possible, but there was a lot of heartache and effort actually went into doing that. So I can imagine that's a real, you know, you don't have to worry asking why things went wrong, just that you can restore the data.
Just that you can do it. Yeah. But even like when we started, 365 wasn't a thing. So we had clients that, you know, they had on-site file servers. And then, you know, if somebody had overwritten something or somebody had deleted something, it was like, right, okay, you need to go and find the right, you know, tape or the right cartridge to restore from. And then it was just a laborious process.
Yeah.
And now in a matter of minutes, you've got those files back.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask, what would you say the split is now between your clients who are still using on-premise equipment and that? Obviously, we're not talking PCs. Everybody's going to have a network and PCs, but we're talking about servers versus the cloud. What would you say the split is, sort of percentage-wise, in your business?
I would say 90, maybe even 95% of our clients no longer have on-site sort of servers and things like that.
Yeah. Which is not at all uncommon now for progressive MSPs, just to say. There's many MSPs who are still holding on to the old ways of doing things, but was it because clients demanded that?
A bit of both. Again, you know, I go back to the size of our clients. When you've got an office that's maybe only got, you know, four or five people in, when they needed a new server and you're looking at, you know, several thousand pounds, depending on what that server needed to do, that was a fair chunk out of their sort of, you know, their cash flow.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there's a lot of maintenance and a lot of work on our part that goes into that as well. So it was kind of mutual. We, you know, clients are happy to move on to 365. It gives them extra things that they wouldn't have if they didn't have it. But also it makes our life much easier. So we gently nudge them in that direction.
Yeah. And I think I would agree with you. Most small businesses I speak to, if it's a choice between making a big capital expenditure on a new server every, you know, 3 to 5 to 7 years, or whether getting a monthly fee, you know, or an annual fee for paying for things from an operating expenditure perspective, they nearly always go down that route. Of course, there are some exceptions, aren't there, Matt? You know, some people need on-site, but for the most part, cloud feels like a better fit for the majority.
Yeah, we've got some that still have a server for various sort of in-house, you know, products or software that they're using that's not yet cloud-based, but I would say you could probably count on one hand how many people that would be.
Yeah. I know you're a big fan of the Microsoft stack, Microsoft 365 we talked about. I've heard you talk about Microsoft Lists before and other solutions. What would you say is the thing that you like most about the Microsoft Cloud offerings right now? Because there's been a lot of changes recently.
There is a lot of changes. And sometimes you feel a bit sort of like you're trying to play catch up. Yeah. Getting used to what they've added. I love the fact that everything is integrated. Everything is sort of, you know, especially when you've got things like single sign-on with 365, everybody just needs just the one username and password to get into it. So they're not having to remember what's the password for this, what's the password for that. We're not having numerous amounts of sort of charges. You know, we pay for this product, we pay for this product, we pay for this product. It's all integrated. We've got a client who is multi-site. So we use Azure to authenticate with their computers. And they love the fact that they can just wander into any branch. Doesn't have to be their usual one. They can sit down, same username and password. Their desktop appears, their email appears, all of their shared folders appear. And that to me is it's a game changer for businesses.
Yeah. You mentioned security there. When it comes to data security, it's a really hot topic for MSPs right now. Are there any steps that you take to make sure that your client's data is secure in the cloud?
Two-factor authentication, obviously, is a big one. That's a big hot topic at the minute as well, I think.
Yeah.
So all of the sort of the services and the tools that we use are all, you know, utilize things like that. Password managers obviously is a good one, and one that we sort of push out to clients as well. We, you know, suggest to you. There's nothing worse than when you go in and it's like, right, what's the password for this? And there's always the same password over and over, and you're just like, oh no. And you know, it takes a lot. You can understand where people come from needing just, you know, the need for one password, because it's much easier for them, and I get that and appreciate that, but obviously it's not the best, so we push that out. And we're sort of on a rolling program at the moment to sort of persuade clients to roll out two-factor authentication to all of their staff. You do get a bit of resistance from that, but it's easily overcome, I think.
Yeah. What resistance do you get? Is it you know, it's just an irritation, or they just want to do things the way they've always done things?
A bit of both. Some people, they don't feel like they want to use their personal phone for, you know, authentication for a work thing. And I get that, but obviously, you know, there's ways around that with, you know, like secure keys and things like that. So it's a bit of retraining as well. And when you've got some people that have done the same job for, you know, a long time, and they're used to doing it a certain way, and suddenly they're interrupted by this sort of extra authentication method, it can be a bit jarring for them, but they soon overcome it.
Yeah. How do you help educate them to, you know, the perils of not using 2FA? Because, you know, even though you deal with small businesses, every business is a target for these cyber criminals now. Nobody is exempt from it. So how do you educate them that, yeah, you could be a target?
A lot of training, a lot of talking to people.
Yeah.
Because obviously people, you know, you hear on the news all the time of people that have fallen foul of things and sent money places and things like that. And what we tend to find a lot with 365 users is they're targeted quite a lot with phishing emails to collect credentials and things like that. So people will know of somebody that's had their email account, you know, hacked and sent out. So everybody's come across that, everybody's received those emails. So they're aware of it. There are tools, Geocom have a tool, or they work with a company called USecure, which is great for that, that can send out, you can set up campaigns that you can send out your own phishing emails to clients and sort of see how they react to it, see if anybody falls for it. And then you can sort of pinpoint those people directly and say, look, this is what to look out for. You know, this is how you would have done this differently. But we also just say to clients, if you get an email and you don't know, you know, whether it's legitimate or not, just send it, you know, just show us it or send us a copy of it, and we can have a look at it for you. I'm quite happy to click on suspicious links on behalf of people to see what happens.
Yeah, in a secure environment, we should say, not
yes.
Just a
oh yeah, absolutely. Yes.
I'm intrigued, Matt. The phishing training that you talked about, you secure on that, which is I see lots of MSPs now utilizing that. It's a really good training method. How do people react when you speak to them after they've done, dare I say, the wrong thing? If they've clicked on a link in a phishing simulation that you've sent out, how do you delicately broach the subject of, that wasn't a good idea?
The beauty with this one is it tells them at the point that they've done it. So it's not me that has to sort of catch them off guard and say, hey, you clicked on that link and you shouldn't have. Because I feel if it was that way around, they would be very defensive. It's, oh, it wasn't me. I didn't, even though you've sort of got the demonstration of it. But I think people are, afraid's the wrong word, but you know, people are wary about things and they know it happens and they don't want it to happen to them. So what we tend to find is when we do have that conversation with people, they're very willing to take on what we tell them because they would rather it be a demo that they've fallen for, that we've been able to catch it, rather than the real thing.
Yeah. And again, I would say from the outside looking in, Matt, you've built up that trust with them as well. So they know you're not trying to make a fool out of them. You're just trying to keep them safe, which is, I guess, another reason why Usecure works so well for you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, one of the reasons that I wanted to speak with you is I get a lot of feedback here on the on Tub Talk, on the show, from people saying, oh, you interview big companies and, you know, all sorts of people who focus on niching in certain verticals and all of this jazz. As we've established, Matt, you know, you're a two-man shop based out of the northeast of England. You work very successfully with small businesses close to you, but also you're effectively a one-stop shop. So clients come to you with anything with a plug on the end of, or perhaps anything not with a plug, and ask you for help with it. One of the services that I know that you've offered or do offer is voice over IP. Is there a specific technology that you recommend here to clients? How does VoIP work for you?
I would say nothing specific. The provider that we work with for our VoIP services are, they're great. It's a very flexible product that we offer, which is handy for clients because, you know, again, because of the mix of the clients we've got, whether they want just a regular desk phone, whether they want something that can walk about with, whether they want it on their mobile phone because they're not office-based, whether they want a soft phone, it doesn't matter. And the beauty of VoIP is it's so flexible that it fits in every sort of scenario. You can make the system as big or as small as you want. If you want to look like you're a big company with option menus and hold music and all that kind of exciting stuff, you can do. If you basically just want your phone to ring, it can do that. And that's what we like about it. And the fact that it's so flexible is you can change that on the fly.
Are any clients that you speak to about VoIP sort of surprised that an IT company is doing telecoms, or is it, I guess it's a given within the IT industry that we've had that convergence, but do clients still find it surprising?
I think some do. I think even though we sort of, you know, we advertise it and promote it, some people don't think to speak to their IT company about their VoIP system. I think that's changing more so, obviously, traditionally with a telephone, it was very sort of, right, we need a telephone, so you need a socket on the wall. You know, an engineer will come and do that. It's a telecoms company that deals with that. Because it's now obviously internet-based and things like that, people tend to associate the two together. And so what we find is a lot more people will come to us to ask the questions. But we do have some that they don't think that we would do that because we're computer-based, not telephone-based.
Yeah. I know a number of MSPs, perhaps even ones who are listening to this, experience occasionally the frustration of, a client will phone them up and say, hey, we've got an engineer here with the new photocopier and he wants the administrator username and password or something along those lines. And then the MSP will say, well, you know, we could have done that for you. And the client will say, oh, I didn't realize you did that. Do you ever, being a one-stop shop, how do you go around making sure that your clients know that you can help them with just about anything?
We utilize email signatures quite a bit, which sounds like a daft thing, but you know, everybody's seen sort of the email signatures with banners in telling you X, Y, and Z. We change that up quite a bit and change what we advertise in that. We used to do things like, you know, email sort of newsletters and things like that. What we tend to find is that most of them, because, you know, everybody, you get inundated with newsletters and things like that, and they get lost in the noise. Whereas when people are emailing us for particular things, they're always seeing our email signature. So we use that quite a lot to advertise information to people that we think they might find useful.
That's very cool. Is there a specific email signature product you use?
We use Exclaimer.
Yep.
Again, through Geocom.
This is why you're their favorite part of that.
Yes, absolutely. But it's handy for us because, you know, when you want to make a change to it, you log into it, you update one signature and it updates it for everybody instantly. So, you know, again, we've got a lot of clients that use that as well. And they, mainly because they've seen us do it. So we change the banner quite a bit and people will mention it and they'll ask, or they've got a nice signature but they can't make it work on their mobile devices, so how do we do that? So then it introduces that product.
Yeah, very interesting. I know on your website as well, I wanted to ask you about this, you offer a number of free services to local businesses as well, which I thought was very, very cool. You've got a broadband speed test on there, password generator, even a VAT calculator. All very cool. Where did you come across these ideas and why did you start to decide to offer them for free to people?
Those are tools that we developed in-house for us to use to start with. You know, then we've had clients that we've sort of offered it to them and just said, you know, they've got frustrated with something. So, we've sort of, you know, installed it on their computer and then word sort of spread a little bit. So I thought, well, you know, we'll put it on the website. If people want it, it's there and they can go and install it.
Yeah, it's very cool. Have you found that you've picked up any new clients as a result of those free tools?
No, probably not.
but nobody looks badly on you for giving stuff away for free.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm not sure the VAT calculator is perhaps as useful as it once was. It was created at a time when, you know, VAT rates kept changing constantly and people didn't know how to calculate it. Nowadays, you know, there's a lot more sort of online accounts packages that will do that for you. So that might not be as useful nowadays, but it's there if people want it.
Well, don't put yourself down. One of the things that's really about your website is, you know, I think more MSPs could take a look at your website and for inspiration, because giving away those free tools is a very, very cool way to go around building likability and trust in your local community as well. So, Matt, this has been fascinating to speak to you. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day. I used to be an MSP, so I know how busy you get on a day-to-day basis. So I really appreciate you taking an hour out of the day to speak to us today. If anybody listening to this wanted to contact you to continue the conversation, how can they find you online?
Our website, or you can find me on LinkedIn. Or, you know, Damtech has a page on Facebook or Twitter. Just reach out through one of those.
Yeah. What's the website URL?
www.damtech.it.
Damtech.it. You're also on Twitter as well, because I know you and I have exchanged tweets before. What's your Twitter address?
It's Matty J. So MFORTTY_J.
No worries. We will include all of that in the show notes so people can find you and reach out. Matt, this has been an absolute pleasure. I hope I can pop down and actually see you and Darren in the offices at some point in the very near future, if you will have me.
Absolutely. Yes, anytime. Welcome anytime.
Matt, thanks for your time today. That's all we've got time for this episode of Tub Talk. I'll look forward to seeing you next time. Hey folks, Richard here. Thanks for listening today. I know you've got a ton of options for who you listen to nowadays, so I really appreciate your support. Do you have any feedback on this episode? Ideas for future guests? Tweet me at Tubblog using the hashtag TubTalk. I respond to every tweet and really appreciate your feedback.